You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a group in the Kaukauna area is trying to track farm runoff heading into the Fox River. We'll find out what the researchers are hoping to learn and how it could affect water protection. First, the race for a spot on Wisconsin's Supreme Court is underway. Three candidates will be on the primary election ballot on February 20th. The candidates are Madison attorney Tim Burns, Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Rebecca Dallett, and Sauk County Circuit Court Judge Michael Skrenek. They are running for a 10-year seat on the court. We'll be interviewing the candidates this week on Central Time. That starts tomorrow at 4. Jolly Emery joins us now. She's a political scientist at UW-Whitewater. Jolly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, this is a nonpartisan election, officially meaning that the candidates don't register as Republicans or Democrats. That said, partisan leanings always seem to be a big part of the story. Is that happening this time around?
Oh, yeah, and perhaps more openly than it has in some of the primaries. For example, Tim Burns is very open about his positions, and he calls himself a progressive, says he's very liberal, and that he wants to bring his preferences to the court. He thinks it's important that the court change in terms of its more conservative ideology. So a lot of openness here on his part. The other two candidates aren't quite as open as he is, but it's still not hard to see where they lean ideologically.
Yeah, can you talk about the leanings? Let's start with Rebecca Dallett.
So Rebecca Dallett, she comes across somewhat as a moderate, but probably a little bit left-leaning moderate. She is being fairly strategic in terms of how she's running her candidacy for the court. She wants to make sure that she not only captures Democrats who are not going to vote for Skrenek, but that she captures the moderates as well, which will make up more of the voters than would just capturing the liberals, which Tim Burns is trying to do.
And then where is Michael Skrenek falling in this race?
Well, Skrenek is conservative, and he doesn't necessarily refer to himself in political terms. In fact, he prefers to talk about how, as a justice on the court or as a judge, you should be apolitical. You kind of put the robe on and you put all of your preferences aside, and then you just look at the law and you determine those cases according to the law. And he talks a lot about the rule of law. But at the same time, given some of his activities as an attorney, it's clear that he has some conservative leanings. And that's kind of what we would call restraintist attitude about deferring to legislative bodies and just interpreting the law is considered to be a fairly conservative viewpoint for a justice.
And we see, if you look at endorsements for candidates, some will have all Democrats, some will have all Republicans.
Yeah.
And frequently we get press releases from a partisan group or the party or whatever praising the one candidate for their independence and their, unwillingness to go under an ideological label. But only one side is praising that candidate for it. Has it always been this way?
Well, that's a really good question. So to some degree, it's always been this way. But I think that in terms of judicial elections, they've become more salient to outside interest groups and other parties, not so much to the voters. The voters still, turn out in fairly low numbers because in Wisconsin in particular, these elections happen at in the spring as opposed to the general election in November. And they're just, don't really appeal too much to the voters. But at the same time, they appeal to a lot of other groups that are interested in what kind of outcomes the Supreme Court might make, what kind of decisions they might make. And conservative groups are going to want to make sure that you keep a conservative majority on the court. Now, you will keep one, regardless of what happens, because it's just one justice. In fact, that's how Wisconsin works. Only one justice runs, or one seat is one justice's seat is up for election in any given year. And so Gableman, who decided after a term that he no longer wants to serve on the court and he's not running for re-election, his seat is an open seat. And if a conservative gets elected to it, the court's ideological composition remains the same. If Burns were elected as the most liberal yeah, he'd be another liberal, but there'd still just be three liberals on the court and four conservatives. So it's important, I think, for certain groups to try to maintain that conservative majority on the court. And at the same time, you know, liberal groups will want to see to at least try and get more of a liberal voice on the court.
Talking to Jolly Emery from UW-Whitewater about the Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin. We'll meet the candidates through the course of the week starting tomorrow at 4. Jolly, let's talk about that voter now. In theory, if you're voting in this election, you might think, okay, I want to elect a good judge, but I'm not sure how I would measure that. So is ideological leaning a useful proxy for people, at least one way to help make a decision?
Yeah, I think so to some degree, if they know. Okay, so depending upon how much research they are willing to put into finding out about the candidates, and there are certainly the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does a really good job in reporting on these candidates. You do a great job reporting on those candidates, but you know, you have to be willing to research and look at you know, what they say about themselves. So Burns obviously is unabashed in how he talks about himself as a progressive, so it's pretty easy to know who he is. I think the other two are a little bit more reserved in how they describe themselves politically and with regard to politics and judicial decision making. But at the same time, I think that they have a benefit over Burns in that they're both judges. So they can both speak to that judicial experience. And I think when people are looking at the positions that the candidates have held, they're going to want to select a judge over someone who hasn't been a judge in many instances.
A lot of times in these races, we see campaign ads, often from outside groups, relying on past rulings of a judge who was serving in a lower court, often on criminal cases, you know, saying they weren't tough enough on a criminal suspect, something like that. How important is that kind of background in terms of what a Supreme Court justice is actually doing?
You know, that's a really good question, and I don't know, you know, overall, looking at all races across the different states who elect their Supreme Court justice, how important that is, but for the most part, I think I could say that most people prefer a judge to appear to be law and order. There have been instances where judges have not gotten reelected because they've appeared to be soft on crime when there have been ads, campaign ads, reporting on their records. So it doesn't look good, I think, for a candidate who's running for the Supreme Court to appear to be soft on crime.
And then can you talk a little bit about what a state Supreme Court, or at least Wisconsin Supreme Court, is responsible for? What, when we go and vote for somebody, what are we setting them up for here?
Okay, so when you're voting for them, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court has both original jurisdiction. In some instances, original jurisdiction means that they hear cases for the first time, but that's pretty limited in scope. Most of their work is appellate, and appellate cases are cases that have been heard at lower courts. So what the Wisconsin Supreme Court does is look to see if lower courts have made some error with respect to rulings. And then the court will determine that. They'll vote, and they'll determine whether or not the error has happened. And if it's occurred and there is error, then they reverse the lower court, or if there's no error, they uphold it. Where it becomes really important for us as citizens of the state, our residents of the state, is with respect to those more political types of cases that come before the court. And we've seen a lot of those, you know, Act 10 probably being one of the most famous, the John Doe investigations, plural, I should say. When those things come to the court and those decisions are made, they can have a pretty big impact on people who live within the state.
And Jolly, before I let you go, I mean, we talked to you years ago after accusations of violence among state Supreme Court members at other state Supreme Court members. Do we have any sense that it's a little more civil these days?
It does seem to be, well, we don't hear about that anymore, right? And one of the justices who was at the center of that is no longer on the court. So it seems to be more civil these days. You know, and we're not dealing with the same, Act 10 was such a huge issue, and we're not dealing with that right now. Certainly there are other important cases that the court has dealt with since then and will continue to deal with in the future, but people seem to be getting along a bit better, yes.
We'll leave it there for now. Jolly, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jolly Emery, political scientist at UW-Whitewater. She joined us for a look at the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We'll meet the candidates, all three of them, starting tomorrow at 4 on Central Time.